Thank you, Nathan and Nikki. A song of dedication unto our Savior. May that be our heart's desire of each of us. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews in chapter 3. Hebrews in chapter 3. The thing that sets Christianity apart from all of the religions of the world and the various cults, some that would name the name of Christ, is the place that they're assigned to the person of Christ. Really an understanding of who Jesus Christ really is. You can take and compare the religions, and you can go down through and the first thing you would notice, and many of them would recognize the person of Christ as a good man. They would recognize him as a prophet, but not understanding who Jesus Christ truly is. These chapters we've been looking at, the supreme glory of Jesus Christ is being presented to us. It's done in various ways. We've seen his person, we've compared him to the angels and recognize as wondrous as the angels are, there is no comparison with the person of Christ. We've seen him as a man in chapter 2. We've seen that how he took on humanity. And we saw him as being fully man, as well as in the previous chapter as fully God. When we come to chapter 3, last message, we just looked at that first verse that recognized the position of Christ and the fact that we can be holy, called holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, and saw the wonder and the joy of being able to be in Christ. Now, as we go on from verse 2 and further, there's a comparison with Moses. Why Moses? Why a comparison with a man such as Moses? The Jews held Moses in very high esteem, and for good reason did they hold him in high esteem. Moses was their deliverer. He's the one who delivered them out of Egypt. Moses was one who was saved from the awful Egyptian Pharaoh that wanted all the young Hebrew babies to be slain. Moses gave up the power and the prestige and the wealth of Egypt, having been raised there in the court of Pharaoh. He did that, as we learn, and we'll see even later on in this book, how he did it, that he might identify with the people of God and suffer reproach for them. What a character that took for him to do that. He was specifically called by God to lead the Israelites. He wrought great power and signs and wonders, but it was by the power of God as he stood before Pharaoh. The stories that are repeated again and again to the Jewish people as how they were delivered there as Moses stood before Pharaoh. We remember that he was used of God to part the Red Sea, to cause water to come out of the rock, to give them water to drink. When they rebelled against the Lord and the Lord would have destroyed them, he interceded on their behalf. He received the law, the words of the Lord there on Mount Sinai. He was faithful in God's house. He was given a place that was even above other prophets. It's interesting in Numbers chapter 12 that it says of Moses, he says, if there be a prophet among you, that's beginning in verse 6 of Numbers chapter 12, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. But my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. It's interesting, Moses was highly regarded, and the Lord took special note of Moses because he said that he was one that he would speak face to face with. When we come to chapter 11, this whole section is devoted to Moses and his faith. We'll look at that later on, sometime later. But even in his death, Moses was honored by God. You remember that the Lord buried Moses himself? That's interesting when you go to Deuteronomy 34 and verse 4. And this was where we remember that Moses was not allowed to enter into the promised land because of a particular point of unbelief in Moses. But in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 5, it says, Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. The next verse is interesting there in Deuteronomy 34. It says, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, no cataracts, nor his natural force abated. He had energy as a young man. Isn't that amazing? The Lord sustained him through those years of his leading the Israelites. Without question, Moses then was great in the eyes of men and honored of God. But now let's compare. What about in comparison to take a great man of Moses and then compare him and look at Moses in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ? First of all, we see in verse 2 that the Lord Jesus Christ was faithful to him that appointed him. Now, we see in verse 2, as Moses was faithful in all of his house. Moses himself was a faithful man. Moses was faithful, not perfectly, and I think it's important, just as we look at in the comparison, we recognize that though Moses was a faithful man, there were times that Moses brought the anger of the Lord upon him, his own self. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 14, and that's remember when Moses was being called, and the Lord told Moses what he wanted to do, and Moses says, no, not me. I can't talk. You can't, you got to get somebody else, Lord. And the Lord, and Moses kept making excuses, and finally it says in the 14th verse, it says that it kindled the anger of the Lord because of his unbelief in the Lord being able to use him. When we recognize that, why did the Lord bury Moses before he went into the promised land? It's because back in Numbers chapter 20, when it talks about how Moses is upset with the Israelites because they are complaining to him that there is no water to drink, and they're wanting to go back to Egypt again. And Moses, in his frustration, he comes before the Lord, and the Lord tells Moses, I want you to speak to the rock and bring out water for them. And in Moses, in Numbers 20, verse 11, it says, Moses lifted up his hand with his rod, and he smote the rock twice, and water came out. And the congregation drank. But then the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. He says, because ye believed me not, and didn't sanctify me, didn't set me apart in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you cannot bring the children of Israel into the promised land. Moses was a faithful man. Moses was a godly man, and Moses was honored by the Lord, but he was not one that was perfectly faithful. There's only been one that has been perfectly faithful, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we think of that, we think of when we come to the Lord Jesus, and this verse says, the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as Moses was faithful in all his house, Moses was faithful, but the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came and was here as a man, there was a perfect faithfulness in obedience to the Father in heaven. Remember there at his baptism when the Father spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. We know that it's told of the Lord Jesus Christ that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. The Lord Jesus Christ was perfectly faithful. No sin whatsoever. Of course, that's very important to us because if he is going to be our sacrifice, it has to be a sinless sacrifice. And so that is important to us, that he was faithful in all, perfectly faithful. The Lord Jesus said, all that the Father giveth to me in John 6:37 will come to me, and him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's a perfect faithfulness to the Father. The Lord Jesus in John 8:28 said, then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Christ came here when he took on human flesh to put himself as a man in total dependence, in total faithfulness. I will only speak those things which he has given me. In the 29th verse of John 8, it says, the Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things which please him. He was faithful to him that appointed him. Moses was a faithful man. However, the faithfulness of Jesus to the Father was supremely higher. Jesus, you know, Jesus' name, he's called Faithful as his name. Why do they say his name is Faithful? It is true because that is part of his very being is faithfulness. There is no unfaithfulness in him at all. Faithfulness is what he is. It is his character. It is his very essence of his being is faithfulness. He can do nothing else but be faithful. So when we take that hymn in our hymn book and we open it up and sing, great is thy faithfulness, we are singing of the one who is perfectly faithful. And so when we look at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can compare him to Moses who was faithful faithful before the Lord, and yet his faithfulness was not perfect. But the Lord Jesus Christ was faithful perfectly to him who appointed him as he came here for that particular purpose here upon the earth. So We see that faithful to him that appointed him. And then verses 3 and 4, look at him as the builder of the house. So here verses 3 and 4. It says, "For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." Moses had honor as one who was a part of the house of God. Moses was protected by God. Moses was called by God. It was God that had called him out. He was enabled. Moses was enabled in all that he did by God. That power that was shown there before Pharaoh and that was shown in leading the children of Israel in the dividing of the Red Sea when he put down his rod and the sea divided at the one time when the Lord had told him to strike the rock and the water came out, the next time when the Lord told him to speak to the rock and he disobeyed in that struck the rock two times. But yet it was that empowering of God. It was not Moses' power. It was not anything of the person of Moses. But Moses was a trophy of the grace of God. Moses was a trophy of the grace of God. Moses was a part of that house, a part of that of which God is doing. So as this is being presented to us as the person of Christ, Moses was a great man, and the Jews looked greatly up to Moses, but yet they need to know that there is someone so much greater than Moses. Moses was just, he was a trophy of the grace of God, something that God was doing in his life. Is not that what the Apostle Paul said, our speaker this last week? Dr. Bierman brought out this verse from 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, when Paul said, "But by the grace of God I am what I am." Just as a sideline, weren't those great meetings? That was a blessed time. We really had good meetings throughout there from Sunday through Thursday, and really appreciate the message that Dr. Bierman brought. Just to be sitting under the Word of God each night and seeing those things that were there. What a blessing those meetings were. I just appreciate many of you were able to say you were here every night, 100%er. Some of you, and there was a number of others that only missed one night. It just made it was a great blessing for us to be able to be under that. But anyway, this one verse that Dr. Bierman brought to us, it stuck in my mind so much as even preparing this message is, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and by his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me." The Apostle Paul was a great man. He was a great man because he allowed the working of God in his heart. He was a great man by the grace of God, not because he was some great man. And this is what I think this is what he's wanting to see about Moses. It wasn't that Moses was, wow, such a superman that nobody else can be, but he was part of the house of God. You see, he was not the builder. Moses wasn't. The verse goes on to tell us here in the fourth verse, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." Moses' honor was only because of the work of God. Moses was the work of Jesus Christ. It was Christ's work. We know that all is made by the Lord Jesus Christ. We've learned he is the creator. Moses was only a small part of his plan for the ages. Moses was only a small part of the work of the great builder, the Lord Jesus Christ, who wasn't just planning for this time in history for the nation of Israel and leading them, But he is the builder, the architect, of which from times eternity past to eternity future, he's got it all laid out. So Moses was only a small part of Christ's plan, because Christ is, his honor is as the builder of the house. Moses was only a type of the perfect deliverer, Jesus Christ, that was to come. We see Moses as the deliverer of Israel. God used him. He used Moses to bring Israel out of bondage in Egypt. And we can see that picture of our own selves in bondage to our own sin. But even as Moses was used to deliver them out of Egypt and to bring them into a land that God had promised to them, Jesus Christ is the ultimate deliverer. He is the perfect deliverer. Moses was only a shadow of the faithful one, Jesus Christ, that was to come. You see, Jesus is the wise master builder. He's the creator. He is the sustainer. All things are made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him, all things consist. Yes, he built, Jesus as the wise master builder, built the whole Jewish nation, of which Moses was a part. He's building the church today, the bride of Christ. He is the builder. And he will construct in the future the new heavens and the new earth, of which he says will be. The point of these two verses, verses 3 and 4, is who is the greater? The one who is the building, the one who's part of the work of the one, or the one who is over it all, is it the building or is it the builder? The obvious answer to that is, well, it's the builder that is the greater. I wonder if God should use you to do one of his great works, should you be exalted above him who made you and empowered you to do his work? That's how he's comparing Christ with Moses. Moses was a great man. He was faithful in following the Lord. The Lord used him. The Lord empowered him. And these Jews that had Moses on such a high pedestal, but yet had refused Christ. He said, if you believed Moses, if you really believed Moses, you'd believe me because he spoke of me. As the builder, Jesus Christ is preeminently greater than Moses. You know, we've made that emphasis. There's almost no comparison between, like we mentioned, between the angels and Christ. There's no comparison between the man Moses, who is part of the building, and Christ, who is the builder. So we see there in that passage the preeminence of Jesus Christ, the supreme glory of Christ. If Moses could be honored because of works that were done, how about the one who called Moses, empowered Moses, and has the whole plan, not only for the Jewish nation, but for the church today and for eternity in the future, and to add into that to what he's going to do with Israel yet to come. I mean, the Lord's not done with Israel yet. It isn't just that's Old Testament, now it's New Testament, but we find that the Lord is going to deal with the Jewish nation again. That's what he's doing and bringing the Jews back into the land now for something that he is yet planning to do. Our Bible is a marvelous book. Isn't it? It's interesting when we read this that was written hundreds and hundreds and literally thousands of years ago, that it's right up to date because we see taking place exactly what God said would be. Because he is the master builder. Because he is the one that is in charge. And he is laying out and he is empowering and enabling, even as his plan was to have a Jewish nation, he was the one that, when Pharaoh was trying to kill all the babies, he had Pharaoh's daughter go down to the river and find that little baby in the bulrushes. Because God was working and he had a plan for that baby. He had a plan for him to be in Egypt and to be raised there under Pharaoh's court and then to leave and would see the faith of that man and then to see his faithfulness. But that was the work of God. So we don't worship Moses. We worship the builder, the one that, and not the house. Verses 5 and 6. Now it says this. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Moses was not just part of the building. Moses was a faithful servant. He submitted to the call of God on his life. Yeah, the Lord had to deal with him a little bit to get him to submit to that call. But Moses submitted to the Lord as a servant. I will serve you, Lord. I will go and do what you want me to do. Moses, as a faithful servant, led the nation of Israel in following God. Moses, as a servant, took his instructions from God in the leading of Israel. That's how he was a faithful servant. He didn't do to them or lead them in any way except the way that the Lord gave him to do. He was faithful as a servant. He was very faithful in obeying the instructions of his master. He was truly a servant of God. Moses would be the instrument of God in writing down some of the scriptures. Our first five books, the first five books of our Bible are called the books of Moses because they were that the Lord gave to Moses to write down. He was faithful in recording. People say, well, how could Moses have recorded what those first chapters of Genesis when it deals with creation? Because God told him what he did. And Moses recorded that, and Moses wrote it down. We also know that, and even as the verse that I read, it said the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. He didn't just speak to him in parables or in things that would not be understood. He clearly revealed those things to Moses. Moses was up on Mount Sinai, and the Ten Commandments that were there that God etched in stone. By the finger of God, it was etched in stone and given to Moses. Yes, he would be an instrument of God in writing down the word of God as God spoke to him. Moses was a faithful servant. We compared the Apostle Paul in the last point. I think we can compare him here as well. When Paul writes in the New Testament scriptures, how does he begin many of those books? Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Even as he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. It was not because Paul was a great man himself, but it was because of what God did in and through him. Here, the Apostle Paul will say, when men seek to bow down to them and to offer sacrifice to them in Acts 14, 15, Paul says, sirs, why do you do these things? We're men of like passions like as you are. He was not some superman. He was a servant of Jesus Christ. A servant of Jesus Christ. But Jesus, the sixth verse, yes, Moses was a servant. But Jesus, it says, but Christ, as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Christ as a son over his house, of whose house we are. It's a picture of a house where there's one that is brought in as a servant, and there's Moses as a servant. But then there's one that is much different as a servant. There's one that's the son. There's one that has, and as we speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, here is one that is equal with the Father. Here is one that as it says in Colossians 1:19, it pleased the Father that in him, in Jesus Christ, should all fullness dwell. All things belong to him. In Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And in Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or powers, all things were created by him and for him. This, he in the house is not the servant, but the son. Oh, he came as a servant. Philippians 2, when he took on human flesh, he came as a servant. He took on him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. He lived here on the earth for those 33 years as a servant. But it was the Son that took on the form of a servant. He did not cease to own all things. The marvel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the marvel of the very Son of God taking on him human flesh, living as a servant, being obedient even to the death of the cross. You know, we sing hymns about the love of God. How can it be? How can it be that God should love a soul like me? Jesus Christ, yes, we see him as the Son. You see, these verses tell us that Moses was Christ's servant. He was part of Jesus Christ's house. And then it goes on to say in this verse, it goes on to tell us that the believer today is part of this house. What's it say? but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? The believer in Jesus Christ today is part of the house of our God. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 3:9, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. It's a blessed thing to be a part of the household of faith, to be in Jesus Christ. You see, Moses was a servant in the house, part of the house. But Jesus Christ was his son. He's the one who owned it all. Is there a comparison between Christ and Moses? It is almost like there's no comparison at all, because he is supreme. Jesus Christ is supreme above all. So as we look at these verses we've seen today, we see Jesus Christ is the faithful one, perfectly faithful. We see Jesus Christ is the builder. He is the one who is the architect and the builder over all. And he is the Son, owner of it all. See, some of the Jews of that day almost worshiped Moses. And so this needs to be dispelled. Are you going to be a worshiper of men? Or will you be a worshiper of the only true God, Jesus Christ, the faithful, the builder, the Son? We can be like Moses and be faithful to him. We need to see all men in that same regard, that we would not put any man, not put any prophet. The world's religions, they hold up these prophets that, it's like they would bow down to them. No, we can be like Moses and we can be faithful to him, Jesus Christ. We can be like Moses and be a part of the house that Jesus is building. Can it be said of you, you are God's building because you are in Jesus Christ, because you have put your faith and trust in him. We can be like Moses and be a faithful servant in the house of our God. We can be a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. May we see the Lord Jesus Christ as worthy. Someone just recently sang here, worthy. Oh, it is. He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our praise because he is God Almighty. And we are merely men. But oh, might we be faithful to him. May we be a part of his house. May we be a faithful servant in the house of our God. In that way, we can be like Moses, use Moses as an example, but oh, our worship is to Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for bringing so clearly the comparison to us between a man that you made great and comparing him to yourself. Oh, the wonder of it all. Lord, may you help us, each one, to come faithfully to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.